Welcome to the show. You're now meant to be scared, meant to be so terrified of global warming that you'll say, please, Prime Minister, save us. Give us your carbon dioxide tax.
The left is the natural home of the modern totalitarian and of all those who feel entitled by their superior morality to act as savages. How does the ACT government justify spending taxpayers' money on a theatre work entitled Kill Climate Deniers?
Kill Climate Deniers, that's your cue. You're listening to Stages and Kill Climate Deniers is opening this week at the Griffin Theatre. And that's a little bolted radio edit from the show by Ruben Ingle and David Finnegan, the writer of Kill Climate Deniers. Welcome to Stages, David.
Hello, thank you very much.
Thanks for coming on. So, a hot, hot topic that started a little while back. Why don't you set up how such a kind of a violent sort of title comes to deal with climate deniers?
Well, I wrote a play back in 2014 about a group of eco-terrorists who take over Parliament House during a Fleetwood Mac concert and hold the entire government hostage and demand an instant end to climate change. The environment minister breaks free and goes on a campaign of reprisals throughout Parliament House, concluding in a pitched battle at dawn on the flagpole of Parliament House. So it is, I guess you could call it a political satire or an action-adventure hostage drama in the spirit of Die Hard, among other things. And it takes climate change as part of the topic of the work. And of course, it's called "Kill Climate Deniers" because I think titles should be instructions. I think that's a way to make a title a fun title.
And you know, when Andrew Bolt, you know, took offence to this, was that from the title? He hadn't seen the play or any
of the. This is the first time the play has gone on.
Yeah.
down, right?
Yeah, we were planning a production back at that time, but there was a sort of surge of right-wing outrage, and at the time we were like, well, maybe we don't want to expose this particular group of actors or this particular group of artists to that sort of pressure.
So oh, that's outrageous, isn't it? Oh, my gosh.
Well, I don't know. I mean, outrage.
Well, it's outrageous that there's censorship.
Climate deniers. So, you know, and if I guess the sort of right-wing outrage mongers need things to be outraged about. Bolt needs to sort of meet a certain quota of outrage per week. And this fit the bill. But at the same time, is it completely unreasonable to be upset about something that says kill a group of people?
I don't know. Right. I guess it's interesting because, you know, the climate change could kill us all in the end. I mean, really, or, you know, maybe even in our lifetimes, they're saying, or particularly in the next generation. So I'm really surprised there isn't a little bit more outrage or something where we get people talking like your play is doing, which is great.
Well, this is an interesting moment, isn't it? Where we're kind of, I mean, one of the questions I had with titling the work this way was, can you animate activity around the topic of climate change? Because I don't know about you guys, but even when I hear the words climate change, I switch off. Like, it's just bleak and depressing, and I'd rather not even think about it. But also, at the same time, we no longer have, I don't know, we don't really have an Overton window anymore. People are saying all sorts of things in the public discourse that 5 years ago I think would have been beyond the pale. So now, who knows what happens when you say a particular thing in public? I think, when I think back to, I mean, this debate around climate change, if you want to call it that, it's been going on for 30 years now. Mm. And back in the 90s, scientists thought that all people needed was the information to be explained very clearly and simply, and that didn't work. It turns out that's not how people operate or think. So we don't really need to have more kind of factual information presented very gently. We don't really need a kind of pleasant kind of conversation outlining all the benefits of switching our light bulbs off or any of these other minor things. We're in a cultural conversation deadlock, and right now I think all bets are off, really.
Do we need to resort to anger and you know, more stronger view,
shooting?
You know. Here's Rod's in the studio too.
Hello.
Yeah. What do you think? You think it's something more than just sitting back and changing, like, we've got to really get angry now?
Look, I think for one, we don't need to kind of sweat too hard about what the exact right way forward is, because in a way we're actually making all the right choices. Society as a whole is really rapidly adapting to climate change. We have a kind of, you know, climate, the mines that people are setting up are no longer economically viable. There's huge new legal challenges to fossil fuel companies. There's new technology which is sort of moving us past needing to rely on these industries, and the science is kind of giving us a really clear window. In fact, maybe the only thing still holding us up are politicians and the media. So I guess we're actually, you know, in a way, I don't think there's any particular strategy we need to do moving forward. It's purely this play is purely a comic piece.
Yeah.
It's a very lighthearted, very joyful, gleeful, enthusiastic ride, which talks about what happens when we have, on the one hand, this massive global threat, and on the other hand, we have Australian federal politicians
exactly.
who are not the most dynamic group of people, you would say.
I think when you were talking about that ideological sort of stalemate, or when everything is stuck, you know, I think even, you know, more than talking about what's practical and what's going on, I mean, that's kind of been amazing. You know, it's almost like if you believe in climate change, you know, then you're sort of left-wing, and if you're against climate change, then you're right. Wing, and it's such a pity because it's an important issue, but it's become this left of right wing thing, which is why it's interesting that Andrew Bolt, who's on, you know, the loony right, you know, kind of reacted to the title. And you know, but that's what I mean. I think we do need to sort of talk about that. You know, why is it like a religion, believing in something that's actually a fact?
Yeah, absolutely. And yet, one of the funniest things about this whole project that I'm still kind of wrapping my head around is this is a play. And we're on the stages show on 2SER, and yet we're talking about something. We're not talking about the theatre. Mm. And in fact, this show, a lot of the conversation around this show has to do with, is it an effective piece of political agitation? Which the short answer would be, no, it's not. Like, if you wanted to change people's minds, the last thing you would do is create a work with this sort of provocative title that's going to upset those people. In a lot of ways, this is reinforcing that divide that you're talking about, that kind of left and right divide. So, I mean, you could argue that this is bad politics, and maybe even this is counterproductive. And so if you're kind of measuring the show on that metric, this isn't a success. Of course, it's not intended to be a kind of political solution or a political provocation. It's actually intended to be a really exciting, fun night out at the theatre, which is sort of unusual in this topic.
Well, talking about that, does it have a narrative then? Does it have a story?
Oh, like my God, yes. It's the story of Australia's federal environment minister being kind of ground down to the absolute depths. And then in this moment of crisis during a terrorist takeover of Parliament House, she finds herself, and with the aid of her press advisor, she comes back, and there's a heroic journey to her saving the day. And I won't give away too much more than that, but it is a story about you know, triumph and the strengths that a person can have when they're pushed to the edge.
I'm glad the press advisor comes off good in this.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's also
they're often the demon in the background in a lot of these stories.
Yeah, exactly. It's also a story packed full of, I mean, it's an action adventure story. It's packed full of songs. It's essentially soundtracked by a kind of playlist of early 90s house and techno classics. So in a lot of ways, it's a kind of body rush piece. It's got, I mean, it's full of knife fights and explosions and dance sequences and backflips. So it's all of these things. But of course, the conversation that we have around the work is about, well, what is the right way to address climate change?
Yeah.
This is entirely my fault. I gave it this title. This is what I get. But it is a weird kind of, it is a weird disjunct. The people come into this show with the sort of, you can always see it. They're like, all right, here we go. The 90 minutes of lecture begins. And then within 10 minutes, they're like, oh, that's not what this is at all.
Right. I like the idea of the grounding down of the Minister for the Environment, because you see them on TV just pronouncing all these things, you know that they don't believe. Like, you just see them grimacing.
They look a bit ground down to start off with, actually.
Can you imagine, like, you know, you go into politics, these are intelligent men and women, but the system, this two-party system in which the only metric is being ahead in the polls, swiping at your opponents, and not saying what you think in press interviews, 30 or 40 years of that to get to the top, and these are hollow shells of people. And they're that's a shame, because of course, the people that we'd really like to see in power and really want to see in government would never go near government because it's awful. And so instead we have these horrific opportunists. Yeah, it's a sad result. I think the system is not doing any of us any favours.
Mm. Well, David Finnegan, thank you so much for joining us.
It sounds like absolute pleasure.
A lot of fun and more than the title. more for you, more than you planned. And also, we should say that it's opening this week, but also on Saturday there's a Griffin in Conversation talking about the issues that are coming up. Four p.m. on Saturday, you can get along to a panel discussion with Lee Lewis, Lloyd Newson, Anne Henderson, Mark Fletcher, and hosted by Jan Fran. So much to do. Thanks again, David.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you.